Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works and why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Can I start now? Are you ready? No, can I do it now? Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to all our lovely listeners. Me and Aidan are here yet again after our Christmas special surprise show.
Surprise!
And we would just like to say thank you all for your ongoing support through 2025, chipping into the fund, those that do, but also those who provide content in the MeWe group to fill in the gaps between the crap we talk about. And those who continue to use the affiliate link for us as well to chip in to keep things going. We love you all, don't we?
We do. Sorry about that heavy start there. I'm not feeling so good today. I thought if I start with a bang, it might keep me going for the duration. Yes, thanks everybody for everything that you do and for being there as we start another year, 2026, and let's hope that we'll all still be here at the beginning of 2027.
Indeed we do. What's wrong with you then? Are you feeling lily-livered?
Well, it's man flu is in two simple words. I mean, I had a very good Christmas season. I enjoyed my Santa work this year more than usual. I had a lovely season. All went splendidly, darling. And then maybe my body just said, right, I've had enough now. Just about New Year's Day, I think it was, I started with one of those wretched flus. I'd rather the flu where you get really sick, you go to bed, you feel like crap, and 24 hours later you start to get better. This is the one that just niggles at you and it says, well, you're not going to be that ill, but you're going to be ill enough that you feel like crap. And it's just been going on and on and on. And I think flu has a journey. My mother certainly talks about this.
That's called a cold, eh?
Well, cold, flu, what? Well, there's a question for you. There's a discussion. What's the difference between a cold and flu? A, it's the cold flu symptoms, but you know, it starts in your head and you've got a pounding headache, and then the next day you've got a stuffy nose, and the day after that your nose is running for England, and then the day after that it's a sore throat. I'm actually on the sort of sore throat and feeling groggy day today. So for the first time ever, dear listeners, I am clasping not a cup of tea, but a mug of Lemsip. It's the same vessel, but it's a cup when it's got tea in it. It isn't a mug when it's got Lemsip in it. I'm sipping on the Lemsip for this show, folks. Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me other than that I've picked up a cold/flu bug, rather a nasty one, and I feel like and I'll just get through the show as best I can.
You know, you know how you got this. It's so obvious. It's having those snotty brats sitting on your knee all that time over Christmas and going and being Santa. And it's just got to be, hasn't it? Whenever you come into contact with snotty-nosed children, that's, you know, they carry all sorts of stuff.
I think normally
they?
I would absolutely agree with you, Ted, but I do know that this year there's been some sort of epidemic, hasn't there? I mean, there's been a considerable number more cases of flu and colds than there have been in previous years, so it could be that. But the only thing is I can give you a run for your money with your low, sexy radio voice today, Ted.
Which I have got no awareness of at all. Whateverworks.works is our website, and that's where we have all the show notes and links to all the stuff we're going to talk about. We've got presence in YouTube Music, don't forget, and or is it YouTube? I can't remember the. But our podcasts do make it into YouTube Music under my account, which nobody ever visits, but it's there anyway, so search for that. AidanBell.com if you want to book him up early for a Santa gig next December. And TedSalmon.com is where you'll find all the stuff I do, the team does, MeWe group links and audio podcasts galore, so head across there.
I've got a butt in there. Add to Aidan Bell, santabell.co.uk as of, well, it's a holding page at the moment, but as the year progresses and Christmas gets nearer, Aidan's Santa will now have a web presence, santabell.co.uk. You heard it here first, folks.
Why do you feel the need to have done that?
Because I had such, as I think people know, I do my Santa gigs through a lovely lady called Catherine, who has an agency, and she provides me the work. And I really enjoyed it. Do you know what it was? It was an epiphany moment this year. I really enjoyed the season, and I suddenly thought to myself, do you know, I'm in one of the very, very few professions in the world where getting older is a benefit, not a hindrance. You know, 95% of jobs, you think, oh, I'm pushing 60, I'm pushing 70, I'm going to have to retire. Santa? Nah, as long as I can stand on my 2 feet with a costume on, I can keep doing Santa. So I just thought, why don't I future-proof myself? Why don't I maybe get a few more bits and pieces for the costume, even end up with my own costume, and have a web presence, and maybe just push a little harder and build my Santa up a little more. So it's basically just setting myself up with the realisation that even when I'm old and decrepit and losing my teeth and my sanity, as if that wasn't happening already, I can still do Santa. So it's future-proofing, sir. Future-proofing. Santabell.co.uk.
Did you do that website on your own?
No. I'm very pleased to say that my sister's partner does websites, so he's taking care of a chap called Paul. Very lovely man. He's doing it for me. I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't have a clue.
I do like the falling snow. That's cool.
Oh, you've looked at it again. You're looking already. I did the picture.
I put a link.
The graphic was me. I had a long session. I love AI. I mean, you know, I've mentioned AI many times on this show and will again. I'm currently in love with AI, and although I scares the teeth out of me. Yes, I did the picture myself in AI, and Paul did the rest. Sorry. Carry on.
Cool. Yeah, I was just saying that I put a link in the show notes so people can go and have a look and watch it evolve.
Thank you, sir.
Indeed. Right. Now, our Christmas special surprise show on the 25th of December. A bit of feedback from that. And Ed House says, wow, what a great Christmas present. And it was a surprise, wasn't it?
It was a surprise. By the way, I'm sorry for that awful snot I just did. I'll try to edit them out if I have to during the show. Joe Hickley was sweet. He said, loved the surprise show. Loads of fun. I 100% agree with how annoying it is when people don't decide what they want and don't get apps or payment ready when waiting in a queue, Aidan. It's not hard. Thank you, Joe. I agree. Spatial awareness in supermarkets, Ted, he goes on to say. I see that sort of thing all the time. And I bet the two ladies nattering gave you a look as if you were the rude one interrupting their conversation when you ask them to please excuse me. Yeah, I totally agree, Joe. You know, everyone is equal rights. We can all go as we wish, as we please, but let's just think about each other as we do it.
Yeah, I'm guessing that those ladies, I mean that they didn't give me a look, and I'm guessing that they were just completely oblivious to my presence, which makes it kind of worse, I suppose. But anyway, there you go. Elizabeth Everly, our friend from America, says, gentlemen, you could do an American accent here. Gentlemen, as a resident of America's Midwest, I'm very sorry to tell you that the truck nuts are a very real thing in our country and have been for years.
Oh,
is
no.
that a crappy American accent?
Oh, it was American, was it? Sorry, I thought it was Swedish. well, I don't know. I really don't know. Oh, goodness. Well, what can I say? I'm glad I'm in the UK.
Yeah, it's a bit sad, isn't it? Truck nuts, for goodness sake. Thanks, Elizabeth. Nice to know that you're still listening. So, yes. What else has been going on?
Well, I made a note in the show notes to give you an update on our new M&S store, which you may remember I mentioned a couple of shows ago. There's not really much update to give because at the moment it's still exactly as 'twas before, with huge, great big sidings up saying, you know, M&S store coming soon and making it all look exciting. But apparently it's costing in the tens of millions. It's apparently quite a big build going on in there. It's a big venue that used to have, I believe it was Next used to be in there. But anyway, we're going to have a new M&S store around the corner, opposite Tesco. It'll be Christmas twice over for me when it opens, but there's no sign of it opening yet. Watch this space.
Perhaps it'll open next Christmas.
Yeah, probably, yes.
Nothing much going on here, as usual. Dad and I had the turkey lunch that I spoke about on our Christmas special in the morning. You went off, presumably, Going off in the afternoon, weren't you?
Back to a wonderful. I had such a pleasurable 2 days at the Chancewood Rosary Hotel, darling, in Mayfair, where were mm-hmm. the lovely, lovely people. I was wonderfully looked after. I had a marvellous 2 days there. But yes, Christmas for me was very much get the show done and then back in the car and back to the hotel.
Cool. Excellent. Right. OK, then that's enough of catching up. Let's go to the feedback section and see what our lovely MeWe members and possibly others are saying about us.
Hello, we've got Gareth Williams. Is he a lovely MeWe member or is he an other? I'll let you decide that. Gareth Williams, look, you says another great show, gents. The December one, not the Christmas special. On the inflatable tent front, I have been using mine for years and I'm a strong advocate of them. I'm keen to see what new developments there will be in the works in the future. It's a huge festive disappointment that we won't be seeing you in whatever works, guys, until 2026 now. Well, it is 2026, and here
did.
We are.
You did.
I
think he wrote that before our Christmas special.
No, he didn't, because he mentioned the Christmas special in the top. But don't worry, we're here.
Yeah.
Whatever, we're here. Anyway, it's 2026, yes. Here we are. And Gareth finishes by saying, they do say, as Mr. Bell will know, leave them wanting more. Well, we're back. Here is the more. I hope you're enjoying it.
I think Gareth down in South Wales is feeling very cold, see, because he was asking about some gloves and he posted in the group. He said that I've got lots of gloves and for lots of purposes, but he wanted a specific pair of gloves. And Chris Kelly jumped in and said he suggested seal skins gloves, which I think we've probably had on the show before. But just as a reminder, Chris Kelly's seal skins gloves. And I'll put a link in the show notes, as always. I've had lots and lots of gloves for lots of purposes. I have 8 pairs of motorcycle gloves, says Chris, for various seasons. I have a smart pair of black leather gloves with a micro fleece lining from Marks & Spencer's. It's a Marks & Spencer show. I have a pair of proper fleece gloves that are lightweight and warm, but not water or windproof. However, if I were to suggest a particular brand that has fantastic range of gloves and covers just about every situation, he says to Gareth, I'd go for Seal Skins. And their website, when you visit, it does look very highly populated with all sorts of options. So thank you, Chris. And there's some advice for you, Gareth.
I've just been looking into Santa gloves. I've been organising gloves for next year because I'm going to have to do some promotion for my new page. So, yes, I've started already for 2026 Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, what are they called? Royal Parade gloves and very, you know, posh, I forget the words now, serving gloves, House of Windsor sort of white gloves. I throw that in as a side thing. Phil Wells.
Thank you.
So you're welcome, sir. Phil, that's what I'm here for. Phil Wells on Talking Products. Oh, this is lovely. He brings us the Multi-Memo Voice Recorder Dictaphone. Now, my immediate thought was, oh, old school, vive la analogue. And I jumped on expecting to see one of those old-fashioned dictaphones that takes a cassette. That'll put me in my place. No. This is a very interesting, round, colourful, looking thing, entirely digital, £19.99. Phil says, sometimes it's the simple things that are the most effective. As an airport transfer driver, I frequently think to myself while driving, oh, I must remember to do this when I get home. But by the time I arrive home, I've forgotten what it was I wanted to remember. But the multi-memo recorder, with the multi-memo recorder, you can press the red button while driving to record a quick note and press the black button to play it back when I get home. Pressing the blue button deletes the memo when it's done. And if there are more than one memo, you can scroll through them using the 2 yellow buttons. Simples, whatever, yeah. Don't try and do that, Aidan. It sits nicely on my dashboard as its back will stick to a magnet. It's the best birthday present ever from one of my daughters. It has 6 minutes recording time. Up to 60 voice messages can be saved. That must be 60 within 6 minutes, not 60 times 6 minutes, so they'd have to be fairly short. But not to worry. 60 messages can be saved, stored and played back. Batteries are included and are replaceable. 3 times LL44. No double A's, Ted, I'm sorry. 6-pack, £2.50 if you're interested. And should last months into years, says Phil. 80 millimetre diameter, 14 millimetre fat. this looks fun. This looks like a fun sort of gadget I would like. Because these days now, I frequently, during the night or indeed when I'm driving, I speak to Google. I just give the Google keyword and speak to my loudspeaker and speak out loud whatever it is that I want, and it goes into Google Notes for me. But for those who don't have smart speakers, this is a great alternative. Thank you, Phil. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks good. I don't think it's big enough to get AAs in, or even AAAs, to be honest. No, I think it's very small. So button batteries are the way to go. But yeah, it looks like it's a, you know, put on, sort out, take off kind of device, not something that you're going to want to keep forever, just a very simple reminding tool. And why not? Yeah, it looks really good. £20. And as he says, if you're a driver of any description for a living, you can just stick it on the dashboard. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Phil. Well done. Good shout indeed.
Indeed.
Now, I've nicked one from Gareth Miles, my co-host on Tech Addicts, because he brought this to a Tech Addicts show a while ago as a bargain basement item. And it's a couple of night lights that you plug into the wall. So not ones that you put batteries in and you stick onto things, but actually plug into a 3-pin socket on the wall. They're dawn to dusk sensors, and they're rotatable, which is the interesting bit, is that you can turn them round. They work really nicely. They are quite plasticky, but apart from that, I've got no complaints. And they're currently lighting up my hallway. Now, you can switch it from always on if you want to always off, or to the auto setting, which detects movement. And I have found, I've got a couple of these now down my corridor, and I have found that they work brilliantly well. They detect just as they should do when I'm walking along. It lights up nicely, and there's no batteries to be pissing about with, because it's you've got the power from the 3-pin plug. Of course, it won't work if the power is cut, but that's another story. So rotatable, you can turn them up through 90 degrees either way, so the light that shines, one out the top and one out the bottom, can be going up and down or left and right. In my corridor, I've got them going left and right, obviously, because it's much more useful. And the good thing about them is that they are £17. Well, at the time I last checked, they were £17 for two of them. And so, you know, I think they're really, really good. They are quite, as I say, they're quite plasticky and cheap, kind of Chinese-y feeling. But, I mean, you don't often touch them. And they work really nicely. So good shout out to Gareth Miles for finding that, and to tell him that I've nicked his affiliate link, because he's got more money than me. So anyone buying these, it will help me, not him.
I like these. We have quite a few, but they are the battery sort. The double A's, though, I must confess, which I use for my mother, especially if we're away anywhere. I can just put them around a hotel room or wherever she's staying so that they can come on for her at night. But if you've got a situation where you have convenient plugs in the right places, these are obviously very much better. And as you say, you can plug it in and forget all about it. Very nice, Ted.
Indeed.
Good shout.
And good price as well. Not quite cheap as chips. Well, unless you divide it in two.
My guilty pleasure, as I've mentioned on this show before, is chocolate-covered coffee beans, dark chocolate-covered coffee beans.
Oh, yeah.
But with my concerns about health, etc., I've been trying very, very hard to find decaffeinated dark chocolate-covered coffee beans. And I put my hand up and say they're not available in the UK at all. I found a couple of places in America, but it would just be ridiculous by the time you've paid all the delivery and everything. You just cannot buy decaffeinated chocolate-covered coffee beans in the UK. It is a great sadness. But in my search for these, I discovered, excuse me, a website called Climpson and Sons, and they make decaffeinated products. They make a very interesting-looking decaffeinated coffee liqueur, and one of the things that they make is called Midnight Oil Decaf Coffee Concentrate. Now, we've talked about the coffee concentrates on the show before, because I discovered them a few months back in Tesco and got very excited, and we've chatted about them, and I think you tried one, didn't you, Ted? Am I right in thinking that you tried one of the decaf, the sort of the cold coffee
Yeah, but it wasn't decaf. I didn't get the decaf one. I got the ordinary one.
That's right. I'm getting a bit muddled here. Yeah, that's right. We both tried those. Well, this one is a decaf. So for me, that's a big plus for me because it means I'm not taking in the caffeine that I don't want to take in. And it's lovely. I bought a litre of it a way back. It's a little bit pricey. It's 16 quid, but you get a litre. And a litre, you know, you make it, you sort of mix it as if you were making an orange squash, that sort of concentration. So you just put a little bit in the bottom of a glass and top the rest up with milk. And it is divine. It is so gorgeous. And it's becoming a new guilty pleasure of mine. And I thought I'd give a shout out. Clemson and Sons have quite a few coffee products, both caffeine with caffeine. Sorry, I've got a cold. Both with coffee and without. Well worth taking a look if you're a coffee fan. Chris Kelly. Great stuff, and I've took delivery of my second Midnight Oil decaf coffee concentrate 1 litre recently, and am enjoying it very much indeed.
I suppose if you have a litre of it, it's even though it's 16 quid, it's going to last quite a long time. I mean, obviously, depending on how quickly you drink it, but, you know, you're not going to take much of a hit out of it for making one cup, are you?
No, that's right. I mean, imagine you've bought yourself a litre bottle of orange squash, how long it would take you to drink your way through that, just making glasses of squash. So, yeah, my initial thought was, oh, this is too expensive. I'm not having this. Then when I realised it was a full litre, I thought I'd give it. I mean, of course, on the side of the bottle, they recommend a mixing something like 3-to-1 ratio, 3 water to 1 coffee,
right.
Which is absolutely totally unnecessary. If you mix it like squash, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, good one. Nice one. Clemson and Sons. Now, we've got a real low in laziness here, I have to say. On my Salmagundi site, I found these things called peel plates. I don't know if you've ever heard of these, but I hadn't. And they're called peel plates. And as I say, it's the height of laziness. The idea here is that it's like a block of plates. And they're kind of papery, but they say they're recyclable. But there's 75 plates in a pack of 5 of these. I'm not explaining this very well, but the point about it is that you use the whole thing as a plate. And then when you've finished your meal, you peel off the top layer and then chuck that top layer away, or ideally go for recycling. And then your lump of papery plate thingies are ready for the next one. And so it's like disposable plates, but they're not disposable as in traditionally partyware disposable. They're all kind of peel off, stuck
you
together.
You sort of have to imagine you've taken 50 paper plates and put them in the compressor and smashed them all down together to make one huge thick one, and then you just peel each one off as you use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goodness.
And I mean, you could have an argument about using less water for washing up or washing up liquid or heating the water or whatever. And if it's truly recyclable, then maybe there's an argument for this sort of thing. On Amazon, they are ridiculously priced at £8 plus £5 post and package. But if you get some from AliExpress or something, which is a good use of AliExpress, I think they're much cheaper. So it looks like there's 15, in fact, on each of these packs, and then in the pack you get 5, so you get 75 plates in the whole pack.
Bugger.
Well, you could. I'm just wondering if it is total laziness, and whether, as I said, there's an argument for not waste, being eco-friendly, not heating water to wash up and all that. It's an argument that I would go on board with.
Yes, but they're brine. One would hardly use them with one's white Windsor gloves, would one? I mean,
they're also square, which is a bit odd.
Square meal. Hey, I learned that. I was watching telly the other night and I learned something I never knew. Do you know that's why it's called a square meal? Because it was to do with sailors eating on ships. And the meals provided to the sailors in ships in days of yore were on square plates. So you had your 3-4-2-1 square meal per day. There you go.
Excellent.
You live and learn.
And also, just My last note on this is that they're also trough-like. So it's not a flat plate. It's actually got an indentation in the middle of it. So the sides will stop whatever you're eating going out from the
edges.
Oh, yeah.
Edges. I mean, it would be like trying to eat off a sheet of paper otherwise. I mean,
Yeah. It's not like... I mean, when I was last eating in pubs, for example, I remember the trend was to be eating off bits of slate.
And baskets and old flower pots. And it's absolutely bonkers. Bonkers.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Peel plates, they're called.
I wonder who bought it.
Now, in the same vein as your, a similar vein to your coffee stuff that you just spoke about, somebody has been buying on my affiliate link, for which I thank you, something I'd never heard of, Tesserie green mint syrup. So apparently it's like squash, or as you might say in a posh house, cordial. And like your coffee, you mix one part syrup with, well, they're saying here, 12 parts water or sparkling water or lemonade or whatever you want, really. And they've got different flavours. So there's, what flavours are there? I did write that down. Oh, strawberry, apple, lemon, peach, blackberry, cherry, pink, grapefruit and more. They're $12.99 a punt. And they, unlike your 1 litre bottle, they're certainly not 1 litre, but... I mean, it's basically an interesting flavoured squash by the looks of it. And with all those different interesting flavours, it might be just the ticket. And I thought it would be quite nice. And if I had some... You see, it's £12.99 for a bottle, and a quite a small bottle, not a litre. But if I had some sort of feedback from someone to saying, wow, this is brilliant. All the people on Amazon that are reviewing it, they all seem to think it's great. But I'm a bit reluctant to spend 13 quid on something just as a kind of test to see. So if this is you, dear mystery buyer, do let us know if it was any good. And thank you to you and everyone else for using my affiliate link. It's at tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Thank you. Do you fancy this? Mint, green mint syrup?
I think I better stop using your affiliate link, Ted.
Oh, it's you, is it? this is not a litre.
When I was very young, when we went as a family to France, our holiday of choice was going to the south of France as a family. We used to drive down. And as children, we discovered Crème de Menthe. Now, there is a French alcoholic drink, a mint drink called Crème de Menthe, which is famously described as tasting like drinking Listerine. And that's quite true. Yeah. It is. And there was a non-alcoholic version available, which we kids became addicted to. And we loved it as kids. About a year ago, I found it in a supermarket, in fact, in France. I got terribly excited. I bought one. I took it home. It was lovely. Once in a blue moon, I will mix it with a can of diet lemonade or diet cream soda. And so you get a fizzy, bubbly, sparkly, mint flavoured cordial, as you say. And it's lovely. And it's a taste memory from me of childhood. And it's bloody nice. When that one ran out, I looked on our favourite store, and sure enough, I found it made by a company called Tesserie, or however one pronounces it, called Green Mint Syrup, as you said. And I bought one, and it's sitting in the larder, and it gets used once every couple of months. So I think, I think I'll have a Crème de Menthe today. And yeah, so I can vouch for it. I cannot vouch for the strawberry, apple, lemon, peach, blackberry, cherry, pink, grapefruit, or any others, but I can vouch for the mint. It's absolutely scrumptious.
So what do you do with it in your case?
Again, it's almost exactly like the coffee we just talked about. Pour it in the bottom of a glass. I mean, I add sparkling. I add lemonade or cream soda. As kids, it was always cream soda. The drink was Crème de Menthe mixed up. Like an orange squash in the bottom of a glass and top it up with cream soda. Now, you could, I suppose, use ordinary water. It might be a bit dull and flat and boring. I would use sparkling water at least, or lemonade. Or milk sounds very odd. As you say, they do recommend milk, and that again would be a very odd taste, but maybe nice if one got used to it. But yes, it was me, and I can vouch for it. And you should spend 13 quid if you just want to put it in the cupboard and just use it once in a blue moon, as I say.
So I was trying to picture what 60 cls is like. A bottle of brandy is 70 cls, so it's almost the size of a bottle of spirits, isn't
it? Yeah, it does. It feels like a sort of, again, I come back to squash. Again, it sort of looks and feels like, it's actually a tin, yeah. But it feels like a tin of orange squash, yeah.
Right, cool. And I'm quite surprised that they have that on Amazon. So that's good for them and good for you. And
good
thank
for
you
me.
For using my affiliate link.
It was me!
Still using.
I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about Santa again. It's just, it's January, I've got the excuse. Fruit of the Loom men's heavy T-shirts. Back in December 2024, show 217, I brought you 5 Fruit of the Loom T-shirts for £14 and 90 pence. The reason being, for my Santa gigs, I get through a T-shirt a gig, so I have to have a supply of up to 10 T-shirts at home so that I can wear them for gigs and wash them in rotation. Interestingly, my new friend Gemini told me the other day that actually cotton T-shirts are the worst thing to be wearing under a Santa suit because they absorb the sweat. And what I need is something, is it wicks, is that the word? That wicks the sweat away. And Gemini has recommended some different kinds of shirts for me, which I will be trying for future Santa gigs. So I may actually have 10 Fruit of the Loom T-shirts to give away to a good home if anybody wants one. But otherwise, I have certainly been still using them. I wore the last one Christmas Day. And it now seems, looking at the link now, there seem to be over 100 options. I don't think I've ever seen an Amazon listing with more options than this. As I say, I bought 5 times white colour for £14.90. Now, I counted, there were more than 100 options in different colours and different numbers of colours and different mixes of numbers of colours at, of course, various prices. So there it is, Fruit of the Loom. And they're very good T-shirts. I mean, all I do is put them on, do the Santa gig, sweat like a pig in them and take them off and wash them. But they've survived a couple of years of gigs doing that. And there we are, T-shirts, which I probably won't need anymore.
Yeah, and wildly different prices, it seems, across the range as well. Whereas, you know, for example, the first 2 options, a white one for £12.68 or a black one for £5.38, you know, which is like over double the price. I suppose the trick is to buy multiple packs of them like you have done, and that seems to get the cost down.
I guess it also it's supply and demand, isn't it? I guess nobody's buying the black ones, so they're trying to shift them, so...
Yeah... But I suppose for you, black, the colour doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. I mean, I could wear, you know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood T-shirt under my Santa costume. No one would notice. Yeah.
And the reason, remind me why you have to wear a T-shirt underneath your costume. Why don't you just not wear anything?
Oh, because I sweat like a pig. I mean, when I've done, if I do a heavy gig, I can't wait to get the T-shirt off and it's ringing with sweat. So, I mean, I would wreck
Which would then go into the costume.
Indeed. Right, okay. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you. Okay. All right, nice one. Good shout indeed. My still using is the Pulse Oximeter, which I brought to Works 171 in September 22. And I have to report that it still works really well. Since Mum was sick in the middle of 2024, it hasn't really been used. It's just been sat in the drawer. And I got it out the other day to test Dad's blood oxygen. And... not only did it work perfectly, but the AAA batteries that are inside it, were the meter was showing only just off of full. And I thought, that's just amazing. 18 months later, same batteries, sat in a drawer, and they've retained their charge, and it works beautifully well. This particular one is showing as not available on Amazon any longer. But to be honest, there's loads of them on Amazon. They're about a tenner, and I probably doesn't matter too much which brand you pick up. But the little thing that you stick over the end of your finger, which if you go into hospital, they have all wired up to whatever. But this is a standalone one with batteries in, and it tells you your pulse, and it tells you your heartbeat and your blood oxygen, very simple little device, and just works perfectly well. And this one, under a tenner, is still going. So there's my still using.
Well, vive la AAA and AA batteries, eh? Yeah, I think we all I think we all bought one of these during COVID, didn't we? I'm surprised you brought it on the show at 22. Wasn't the COVID year 2020? I'm surprised we didn't already discuss it then, but maybe you bought a second one by 22.
I've got a feeling that I bought one which was crap, and I can't remember what it was now, and this was a second shot, and so we covered it later on. Or something like that.
Yes, yeah. But yes, good shot, and always good to have one in the house. You never know when you might need it.
Judge Barton's cheapest chips, of course. So my first cheapest chips is the spoke shave. Now, apparently, a spoke shave is something to do with wagon wheels, and not the chocolate ones. the making or maintenance of wagon wheels in the old days. Anyway, this is what was going on here is that we had a garage door which was swollen, sticking because it had got wet and blah 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 blah. And I said to my dad, we could get a file, or we could get a plane, or we could get, you know, find some, we could always get a drill and an attachment for the drill, and kind of, you know, wear it away, wear it down so it doesn't stick anymore. Anyway, I went onto our favourite website and did some fishing around, and this spoke shave has done the job brilliantly well. It's a little, I mean, basically it's a plane, but it's a plane that's really simple because the blade is in between two handles, and I'm sure that someone like you that's used to DIY will be very aware of these kind of things. But this is £8.99, so yes, cheap as chips. And you just basically get your hand on each side of it and pull or push. Well, my top tip actually is doing the edge of a door is to do it upwards towards you, because I tried doing it downwards away from me and it just kept getting stuck and it was useless. But as soon as I turned it around and pulled it upwards towards me, it was shaving it off lovely, and it did the job, and it was £8.99 and it was done. There's a little screwy thing on this one, which I assume there is on probably all of these, where you can adjust the amount of blades sticking out, like you can with a normal plane, I suppose. And it just did the job brilliantly. And I'm thoroughly recommended, very cheap. Chuck it back in the toolbox for next time you need it.
Very nice. Thank you for the compliment, but I'm not really accustomed to these. I know of them. I've never used one, but this does look nice. And as you say, just grab it either side and pull. I concur.
Cool.
In fact, I might even borrow it off you for my garage door. Thank you. Excuse me, there's a cold popping up to say hello. Tesco, frozen all-day breakfast. Now, under normal circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't go near this with a barge pole. Oh, someone's at the door. Would you excuse me while I go and get to the door? I'm terribly sorry.
Goodbye.
I'll be back in a second, guys. Sorry, Ted, going to get the door. You know what's so annoying is, you know, when you get there, there's no person. There's just an Amazon parcel on the door. And you think, why did they bother ringing?
Yeah.
Come back.
Mind you, if they didn't ring, then you'd probably whinge about that too.
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. All day frozen breakfast.
You wouldn't normally buy these under any circumstances.
No, I really wouldn't. But I did something this year which I daren't mention again. But while I was busy doing it, getting up at ridiculous times of the day, even for normal people, I mean, some days I was actually having to get up at sort of 6 or 7 in the morning, which a lot of even normal people don't have to get to do in order to get off to my gigs. And I needed a quick breakfast. And I'm not a cook. I don't cook. I'm afraid I'm what they call a ding-ding man. We've discussed this on the show before. I just put stuff in the microwave and wait for it to go ding. And I discovered at £2.60 the Tesco all-day breakfast. You know, it's a frozen omelette, a frozen bit of bacon, a frozen sausage and a frozen portion of baked beans, and you slap it in the microwave for a few minutes and it comes out and it's edible. I mean, it's not exactly the nicest full Monty you've ever seen, but it's hot, it's edible, it fills the stomach, it's done in 5 minutes, and then I get out the door and off to my gig. So it's difficult to advocate it because I really don't approve of such horrendous fast food nastiness. I mean, even a properly cooked full Monty breakfast is not exactly a health bomb. So I will tentatively say, if anyone else is in a similar need of something quick and easy and filling just to get you through a day, at £2.60, who can argue with Tesco's frozen all-day breakfast?
One sausage, one bacon, one hash brown, one omelette.
Hash brown. I forgot the hash brown, yes.
And a spoonful of beans.
Yeah.
It does look like a very interesting option. Gone are the days of the transport cap en route, of course.
Oh, yeah, which is very sad. I mean, for all my gigs, I always try to look up somewhere that I can go to sit and be early and have a cup of tea and maybe some proper food before the gig. And, yeah, definitely the transport cafs are a dying breed, which is a great shame.
A cup of char and a wad.
That's the one, yeah. That's as we've discussed on the show before, you get your cup of char and it takes about 3.5 hours for it to cool down sufficiently that you can actually drink it anyway.
No, I agree with you. There are occasions when something quick and easy like that is really good. And Tesco and Sainsbury's prices on this kind of stuff is usually very good. So, yeah, I agree. There is a place for everything in that kind of way. My second cheapest chips is the Kensington ErgoSoft Wrist. I was getting some rashes on my wrist and I was trying to work out if it was to do with the amount of time that my wrist is on my desk at my computer. Mm-hmm. So I went and Gemini'd it and had a conversation with her who knows. And she suggested that I have a go with this one and suggested all sorts of ways in which the rash might go away. Anyway, the point was that for the price of $9.99 when I bought it, apparently I think it looks like it's a bit more expensive now, but when I got it was $9.99. And it perches on the edge of my very edge of my table, and so the bottom of my hand, the heel of my hand, if that's the right term, sits on it, and it elevates my hand away from the table. And I have to say that since I got it about a week or 10 days ago, it does actually seem to be making a difference, and my wrist is not constantly on the flat surface and sweating and presumably giving me that rash. So anyway, early days, but I think that might have done the trick. It was cheap as chips. What is it now?
The grey one is $15.95, and I have to say, it looks like a glasses case. If you hadn't told me what it was, I would have thought it was a glasses case. But there you go. Oh, I do you know what? Since I got my rotator cuff issue 2 or 3 years ago, and rearranged how I sit at my desk and where everything is positioned and where my wrist is and how I sit, I've really appreciated that these things can make a tremendous difference to your bones and your muscles and your skin and your body. And so, yeah, I'm well in favour of what you've done there, Ted. Well done.
And this is spongy as well. When I put my fingers on it, it goes down and bounces back out again. So it's like a sponge almost.
Yes.
A firm sponge. And also, you can get it in different sizes because apparently, and the different sizes mean the height of it, because it depends on the height of your mouse as to which how high you want the pad. It's all a bit technical. But anyway, so far so good. And I think it's working quite well for me.
Excellent.
I want one of those.
I want an Astronomia Solar Constellation and Planets Watch by Jacob & Co. I can't believe how much Jacob & Co. watches cost. This one looks very, very interesting and very, very nice, but it's a third of £1 million.
What?
Which is absolutely a watch for £339,000.
No.
But it's okay because there's free delivery.
Oh, it's got real jewels in it, hasn't it? I see.
Yeah,
oh.
It's really nice, and they've made it look like the planets of the universe, and they presumably turn around as time passes, so that they are swizzling around the clocks and the time frame. It looks absolutely lovely. But it's all very silly price. It's a sort of you know, a sort of thing that a stinking rich family would give to Dad because he's got everything else and they can't possibly think what to get him. Market Cross Jewellers, this is being sold at, incidentally, the link goes through to, which I've never heard of. Apparently all their shops are up in kind of Geordie land, up in the northeast.
Oh, so right.
some of our listeners might know about them, but I've never heard of them. Market Cross Jewellers. Spankingly nice. Feel free to buy me one, anyone that is listening to this show.
Goodness, that is it's a lovely, lovely watch. I mean, I could wear one as Santa. I mean, it's got that lovely sort of the elves made this in the North Pole kind of look about it, hasn't it?
It's
gorgeous, but as you say, Ted, I mean, also the website here actually just says price on application. So they don't even tell you the price on the website.
No, I had to fish around to find the price, that's right.
Yeah, and it's the old adage, if you have to ask the price, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
Whatever worked.
Worked. Worked well with my cold today.
We've got up to show 87, Rosé for Jose, it was called, in July 2019. And the thing that I wanted to highlight was the Fackleman Apple Slicer. Very simple little device, which was brought to the show by Judy Lopez. And, we had one. After the show, we bought one of these, and it's still kicking about somewhere. The trouble is that my mum was the only one that liked apples, so me and my dad don't eat apples anymore. But the simple device, it's shaped like an apple, which is a bit of fun, and it's got these kind of cross things going on in the middle, a circle in the middle of it for the core, and basically what you do is you press the thing down on top of an apple and you apply pressure, and it cuts it into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 slices and takes the core out, and it works really well. It's currently £5.96 on Amazon, still for sale, still available, and you can get two sizes if you've got giant apples or little apples. So that was my pick of stuff that whatever worked.
Very nice. I think I'd like to have one of those. It might encourage me to eat apples, which I don't do nearly enough. I noticed and spotted and was very pleased to see the 800 lumens head torch. I remember this is something that Steve Litchfield brought to the show. At it on Amazon now, it doesn't have the price against it, but I remember fairly strongly that it was around £6. It was a stupidly low price, and Steve was waxing lyrical about it, and I took a punt and bought one, and absolutely concurred. And it was an incredible head torch. It had, because it was an amazingly bright beam, it had an elastic fixture around the side but also over the top of the head, so it sat very comfortably and firmly on the head, and was this fantastic thing. It took 3 AAA batteries, so you'd love it, and I think I've still got it somewhere. I remember that after a year or two, I replaced it with a posh one that I found on the show and discussed on the show quite a bit. And that's the one that I now have to hand if I want one. But I think this one is still in a box somewhere in the house, because it really was an extraordinary purchase at £6. So I remember that very vividly. Head torch.
Yeah, very good. But anyone that needs to go outside in the dark, in the snow... It's still very dark up here. I know it's going to be darker here than it is where you live, but I did notice last night that I was expecting the days to start to get shorter, but they don't appear to be very much.
Oh, it's ridiculous, putting the lights on at 3:30 in the afternoon. It's just bonkers. It really is.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to highlight in whatever worked was somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody brought to the show the Intex Octagonal Pure Hot Spa, which is basically a garden pool, but it's got some electrics in it to make it hot and to bubble and stuff, and it looks really good fun. I'd completely forgotten about it. Hopefully whoever had that is still using it. In the winter, Christmas Day plunging with lovely hot spa around you, or indeed in the summer when you can put cold water in it and get away from the poxy sun. Let's not go there. But lots of interesting options, and sort of thing you see on a film, I think. In fact, I was watching a film last night when they had the very thing, So it's a, what's it called? A Pure Spa Plus. And there's no price because it's not available, but you can expect to pay hundreds of pounds. Oh, here's another one here for 1,900 quid.
Well, if I was going to spend over a grand on one on a spa, I'd try and get a proper one with the hard sides to it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. This is an inflatable one.
Yeah, yeah.
Pip Tomlinson is first on border rules implementation. The EU recently introduced the EES system, where visitors from outside of Schengen area have to have their fingerprints and photos taken on entry to Schengen country. So people who overstay the 90-day rule can be tracked easily. At most airports in Spain, there's a line for EU passport holders and a line for non-EU passport holders like me, says Pip. However, because I'm also a permanent Spanish resident, I'm exempt from using the EES machines. Herein lies the problem. I'm in the middle ground where I get bollocked whatever I do. If I go with the other British people to the EES machine, bollocked, go through the EU passport holders line and show my passport and residency card, sometimes bollocks, sometimes let through. The point of all this is that it's staggering to Pip that these regulations come in and yet nobody at airports seems to know what they're doing with them. For anyone that doesn't perfectly fit into one of the categories, like Pip, each time I go on a flight, he says, it's some kind of aptitude test to see how confusing it can be when I go in or out of a country. So he wants to put border rules implementation into room 101. Bit of a complex one, but hope you kept up at the back.
Yeah, it reminded me of the time during COVID. I remember having to fly during COVID to do a job, and one hand didn't know what the other hand was doing. And, you know, it was involving, I won't tell a long, boring story, but it was involving the airport in Switzerland, Basel, which is actually on French soil. It's Basel Mulhouse Airport. It's a Swiss airport, but it's on French soil, and it has entrances to Germany, Switzerland and France. And they just did not know. One hand didn't know what the other was doing. It was a nightmare. So, yes, I agree. But, you know, have these rules, but make sure that everybody knows the rules and knows how to implement them so that it works smoothly. Mine is a silly one, and it's going to take me no time at all. It just occurred to me, again, doing my work over Christmas, having to shave every morning. I just thought, I want to put shaving in room 101. Yeah, it's just absolutely such a tedious, monotonous. And because I'm, as you may have noticed, a bit of an impatient, impulsive person who wants to be getting on, hyperactive, to stand in front of a mirror and... I remember Gerard Hoffnung, a famous old comedian, said, wouldn't it be useful if you could grow something sensible like broccoli or something, that it would at least be useful on your face? Because it's just shaving off this hair every day. It's like, why do I have to grow it in the first place? If there was an elixir that you could spread over your moustache so it never grew, wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, shaving goes into room 101 for no other reason than that I'm bored with it.
You could change your gender. Now, you see, there's a point. If you changed your gender, not suggesting that you do totally, but if people do change their gender, they must have some way of stopping those X-men from having hair growth. So yeah, why is that not available?
Well, I suppose it's all to do with testosterone levels. And I mean, one could presumably take enough testosterone reducing drugs to end up not growing so much hair. But I mean, there would probably be a myriad other things that I wouldn't want to happen, yeah, such as I'd end up doing the show like this.
Anyway, I'm going to take your shaving and raise you teeth cleaning on that.
Okay.
Which is the most boring, tedious job.
I'll concur. Equally teeth cleaning, yes.
Anyway, there you go.
I tell you something funny. It's classic Aidan. You'll certainly understand this. I did a few days' work over Christmas, and then because I was rushing hither and thither and yon and not doing my normal schedule, it suddenly occurred to me, oh, I haven't cleaned my teeth for about 3 days. I hadn't even realised that I hadn't cleaned my teeth. At least when you don't shave, it's there on your face sticking out saying, look, shave me off. If you forget to clean your teeth, the first thing you know is when you got toothache.
Being the laziest person in the world, I worked out that shaving was it had to go a long time ago. As you know, I always have a full beard. I just cannot be bothered. But if you're an actor, I do get it. You can't always just have a full beard the whole time.
No, and also if you're maintaining a hairless face, even if it's just going down the road to the bank or shopping or so, who go to the bank? When did I last go to the bank? But, you know, even if you're just going out somewhere, you just don't want to look scruffy, because if you're a shaver who hasn't shaved for a day or two, you know, unless you're lucky enough to have that stubbly George Michael look, then you just look messy and you just think, well, I better shave because I'm going to the doctor or to see this person or that person, and it's going to be very rude if I turn up looking like this. So again, you have to bloody shave. Horrible thing.
I agree.
Oh, that's better. Right. Fully shaved and ready to move on.
Right. My gold star is going to go to Anchor again, I'm afraid, because since I last spoke about Anchor on the last show, or the show before, I was just gobsmacked at the level of aftercare, personal service that they offered. Just to remind you, this battery thingy, this power bank that went tits up, they led me through testing it, blah, 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 concluded it was broken, sent me a new one at no cost, with tracked delivery, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought that was the end of it. So I, you know, praised them on the last show or the show before. But no, there was more. The follow-up after that was that they sent me emails again two times after that, checking with me to see if everything was okay and are you happy with your replacement? Is it working okay now? Offering me tips about how to charge it and rest it and use it as an emergency. You know, basically, there was someone, a human being, well, I'm assuming it's a human being, engaging with me at least twice after the event that cost them money. And I was just really impressed. Anchor UK, they had done really well with that. And I wanted to just give them a gold star for it.
Excellent. Yeah, it is lovely when you find, you know, I mean, Anchor is a huge company, isn't it? So it's lovely when you find such a huge company that nevertheless has such excellent service. Yeah, good one. Well done, Ted.
Indeed. Right, OK, we're done. You can go and take some Nurofen or something.
I'm having another Lemsip now,
Well done for keeping going for the last hour. And well done to our listeners, if you're still here, for keeping going for the last hour as well, yes. Listening to all this claptrap. We'll be back in a month's time, as always now, with our February show. So watch out for that. Whateverworks.works is our website. That's where you'll find links to all the stuff that we've been speaking about today. AidanBell.com is for Aidan, and also asantabell.co.uk. And tedsalmon.com is for me, where you'll find links to all our MeWe groups and all our audio podcasts and the whole lot. PodHub UK as well. So, thank you for listening. Last word to you as always, Aidan.
Well, the last word is just that I'm looking forward to finding out further details of the Ted Salmon Accents and Dialects Masterclass, which I'm looking forward very much to taking part in. I want more of this, please, in the show. That was most enjoyable.
I do apologise, Elizabeth. Right. One last thing to say. As always, don't forget,
whatever works.